Chapter 9. Hooray for the teachers. The next day, Robert, Lucy, Anton and Abby arrived just as the other children were walking into school in a line. They joined the back of the line and followed it into the school hall. All the children sat down together near the back of the room. At the front of the stage, the robot was waiting to start the lesson. The big screen was blank. That was unusual. Normally the screen would have the class subject written on it. When the bell sounded for the start of lessons, the children got out their pens, exercise books and calculators. After a few minutes, the children were ready. They sat back and waited for the robot to begin the first maths lesson. Minutes ticked by, but the robot didn't move. Some children shifted around in their seats. Still, the robot didn't move. More time passed. No movement from the robot. Soon the children started talking and whispering.
I don't see that.
A boy near the front of the hall turned and spoke to the person behind him.
"What's happening?" he asked.
"No idea," replied his friend.
"Perhaps the robot has broken down."
"I hope it has broken down," whispered a girl nearby.
"I don't want a maths class today. I'd rather go outside."
"I think our plan is working nicely," Lucy whispered to Robert.
Silently, the whole school waited and waited. Half an hour went by. Suddenly, the doors at the back of the hall opened and Mr. Sharp rushed in. He walked quickly towards the stage and turned to face the children.
"Children," he announced, "all the school computers have stopped working. This is very serious indeed. Without the computers, I have no lessons to give you. I will have to work hard today to sort out the problem. You will have to go home for the day. I'll contact your parents to tell them when you may return to school."
The children were shocked. Nothing like this had ever happened before. Suddenly, Robert stood up. He put up his hand.
"Yes, Robert, what is it?" asked Mr. Sharp.
"Please, sir," began Robert, "I have something to tell you."
"Oh, can it wait until I have more time to listen?" asked Mr. Sharp. He was looking very flustered.
"It's about the problem with the computers," replied Robert.
"Go on," said Mr. Sharp.
Robert cleared his throat and shuffled his feet. He felt very uncomfortable.
Well, Anton, Abby, Lucy and I deleted all the files on the computers," explained Robert. "We did it because without computers, the children will have to use books to find information and to read stories," said Anton. "We know that the computers controlled the robots too. Robots are no good for teaching," said Abby. "Children need teachers to teach them, not robots. Robots don't care what children learn or how they learn, but teachers do," finished Lucy.
Mr. Sharp stared at them, his mouth opened and shut like a fish out of water.
"Oh dear," whispered Anton. "I have a horrible feeling we're about to get into a lot of trouble."
The children looked down at the floor and waited nervously for Mr. Sharp to get very angry. But he didn't. He stood completely still. Then he started to smile. Then he began to laugh. He laughed and laughed and laughed. All the children stared at him. Was he mad? After a few minutes, Mr. Sharp stopped laughing and smiled at all the children.
"Children," he said, "this is the best news I have heard in a long time. I was very upset when all my teachers were removed from this school. I know that head teachers in other schools were upset at losing their teachers too. I was also angry that our library of books were taken away. You were very brave, children.
Mr. Sharp looked serious.
However, without teachers or books, I cannot teach the whole school. You will all have to go home until I can sort things out.
Mr. Sharp,
called Anton as he stood up.
Yes, Anton, what is it?
Asked Mr. Sharp.
There are lots of books in school, he explained. We found them.
You found books? But how is this possible?
Asked Mr. Sharp.
We found them hidden in the cellar, replied Lucy.
The cellar? Said Mr. Sharp. But we can't get into the cellar. Only the people at the office can open the door. How did you get in?
Then Robert, Lucy, Anton and Abby told Mr. Sharp how they had stayed behind after school and gone to the control room when everyone had left for the day.
We found a strange green computer in a glass box, explained Robert.
And we discovered that the computer controls the door to the cellar, said Abby.
We worked out the code and the cellar door opened, continued Anton.
Then we went down the steps and into the cellar, said Lucy.
It was really dark, so I shone my torch around the room. That's when we discovered the books. There are hundreds of books in the cellar, finished Robert.
But I have never dared to touch that computer, cried Mr. Sharp. The office told the head teachers never to touch it. Only the people from the office are allowed to use it if they visit the school. I never knew that it controlled the cellar door, and I never knew that the people from the office hid our books there.
Mr. Sharp shook his head. He could hardly believe his ears. The rest of the school watched in amazement. A boy from the front of the hall stood up.
Let's get our books out, he said. Let's take them back to our school library.
Yes, let's do that, called out a girl.
Yes,
shouted everyone. Mr. Sharp raised his hands for silence.
Anton, Abby, Robert and Lucy will come with me to the control room. They will show me how to use the green computer to open the cellar door. The rest of you will line up outside the cellar. As soon as the door is open, you will carry the books up to the library, explained Mr. Sharp.
The children stood up and filed out of the hall. Robert, Lucy, Anton and Abby went with Mr. Sharp to the control room. They showed him how to use the computer to open the cellar door. As soon as the cellar door opened, the children carried piles of books up to the library. Soon all the books were back on the shelves.
Oh, what a wonderful sight, sighed Mr. Sharp. I never thought I'd see these shelves full of books again.
He looked sad suddenly.
But without teachers, I'm afraid I still can't teach you today.
But isn't there anything we can do? Asked Abby.
She looked at the books. She longed to open one and read it from cover to cover. Mr. Sharp thought for a moment or two.
I think I may have an idea, he said. While I am busy, I'd like you to check that all the books have been put back on the correct shelves. Put all the fiction books on this side of the library. Put all the non-fiction on the other side. Make sure all the books are in alphabetical order. You do that by looking at the author's name. Authors whose surnames begin with the letter A go first, and so on through the alphabet.
While the children set to work, Mr. Sharp went off to make some telephone calls. Back in the control room, Mr. Sharp opened a drawer in his desk. He pulled out an old book. He blew the dust off it. It had been in the drawer for years. It had the names, addresses and telephone numbers of all the teachers who used to work in his school. He opened the first page. Then he dialed a number.
"Hello, Peter," he said. "It's Mr. Sharp from Woodfield Junior here. How are you?" "Yes, it has been a long time."
Meanwhile, the children were busy organising the library and putting all the books in the right order.
"I never imagined I would spend today setting up the school library," said one girl to her friend.
Robert and Lucy smiled at each other.
"Our school is going to be just like Dad's old school," said Anton. "I'll read books from the library just like he did when he was young. And lessons will be much more interesting," said Abby.
An hour later, Mr. Sharp went to see the children in the library. The children stopped what they were doing and looked at him.
"I have a special surprise for you all," he said. "I want you to look out of the library windows."
All the children went over to the windows and looked out onto the playground below. There, walking into school, were lots of men and women. The children were puzzled.
"Who are they?" asked a little girl.
"They are the excellent teachers who used to teach here before the office removed them all," replied Mr. Sharp. "And now they are going to be your teachers."
"Hooray!"
shouted all the children.
"Hooray for the teachers! Hooray! Hooray!"
The children rushed down to the school entrance to greet the teachers. As they walked in through the main doors, the children cheered and clapped their hands. Then Mr. Sharp quickly got to work. He told each teacher which class they had to teach. Anton, Abby, Robert and Lucy's teacher was called Mr. Williams. He was a tall man with a kind face.
"Come along, class. Form a straight line," he called. "Let's go to our new classroom. We've got a lot of learning to catch up on."
Mr. Sharp wrote timetables for each class. Then the older boys took the robots outside and put them by the rubbish bins.
"We won't need those again," smiled Mr. Sharp.
At the end of the afternoon, Mr. Sharp called a special assembly. The whole school filed into the hall. Instead of a big screen and a robot, a row of teachers stood on the stage. Mr. Sharp stood in front of them all.
"Oh, it's like a proper school again," sighed Robert. "Is this what your school is like?" asked Abby. "Exactly the same," answered Lucy. "You will love school from now on."
Mr. Sharp clapped his hands.
"Pay attention, everyone, please," he called out.
Stopped talking and looked at Mr. Sharp.
"From now on, Woodfield Junior will change," he announced. "You will have books to read, and the library will always be open for you."
"Hooray!"
cried the children. Mr. Sharp raised his hand to silence them.
"And from now on, you will always have teachers. Your teachers are here to teach you and to help you," he smiled.
"Hooray! Hooray!"
shouted the children. They clapped their hands and stamped their feet.
"Hooray for the teachers! Hooray!"